Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Super T Podcast Show. So, I'm just waking up from one of my infamous naps. It's become a thing now. My energy levels are soaring. However, around a certain time, typically around the evening, I'm ready to go to sleep, take a nap, but I'm not asleep for long. I'm asleep for at the most, maybe 5 hours, maybe. Typically it's 3 or 4, and then I get up to use the restroom and I'm just wide awake and I'm just oh, okay, so what am I going to do now? And typically, I do some research, listen to an audiobook, feed my mental, because I think it's so important to watch what you consume. And that goes in regards to what you watch for entertainment, what you listen to for music, all of that, because all of those images go into your subconscious and you may suppress them or, whatever, not even be aware of the images that you are taking into your mind. But those images could have you just look at things from a weird perspective, but anyway, nonetheless, that's just me. That's me, because I know who I am and I know my purpose. And I was just self-reflecting, which I do often, daily. And I had a question that came in my mind, because there's been so many changes in the last few years, and they've all been very, very good. But some of the changes I really just didn't expect. I expected my clients to success, certain individuals to be there during, because they were there for so long. And I know my clients seem to be slower than others. And there's a funny meme that's not even a funny meme. It's accurately describes my personal journey, and apparently other people's journey as well, that says that your climb is taking longer, your rise is taking longer. Essentially, this is what it says. I'm not quoting it verbatim, but the reason why it's taking longer is because you're not using people, you're not you're not selling your soul, you're not selling yourself. You're literally taking the step by step, and I'm like, that applies to me, so I get it. And what I didn't get for a while, especially with the habit of just sacrificing and giving and giving and giving and giving and giving and pouring so much of myself out, that I was not allowing myself to stay full. I was just pouring myself out. I wouldn't say it was depleting, but what I can say is I learned a lot during the processes. So as I was self-reflecting and going through some old pictures, I realized how I showed up and how I was showing up. And I was just like, man, I was going the extra mile. I've been going the extra mile for a while, I met a sister, how can I describe the sister? She's a fellow Taurus like me. So, we have similar mindsets when it comes to, just making sure that our families are good. She unfortunately also went through a tragedy like I went through in regards to burying a child of mine. She buried a child of hers. She had more children than me. And she also was in a more stable situation before me as well when it comes to housing. Housing was such a challenge for a while, you know, for a while, especially like after my divorce. It was just like I didn't have any type of rental assistance, and I had to pretty much figure a lot of things out on my own. And my spirit wouldn't allow me to just go out and slave for rent. It just wouldn't allow me. Like, things would happen literally to prevent me from doing that. Slips and falls and all types of weird shit, you know, like weird shit. It'd be like, sit down and be still, you know, and reflect, and this is more important. And even when spirit was doing that with me, literally sitting me down and literally showing me, okay, I got you, I'm gonna support you, you're gonna be provided for regardless, it's still like I had that in me, like, I gotta go get it. It's still a challenge for me to kind of be still. I've been working since the age of 14. And for me to just be still is challenging, you know? And so, but I'm learning to be more obedient to spirit. I'm learning that I'm good regardless, so I don't need to stress anything, you know? I recognize, there was just a lot of healing that needed to take place. But anyway, back to the sister I met. She had an event. I went to the event. And, you know, it was cool, you know. It was nice. But the vibe was kind of like, you know, I don't know. It wasn't what I expected. So I guess the point I'm trying to make is people project a certain persona on these platforms, right? And it's cool, like, you're supposed to. But sometimes the personas can be misleading. Sometimes the personas can be like, just be misleading, because I feel like that was that situation. You know, I travel pretty far without a car, you know. And then if I self-reflect, really, I did not think about me enough in my efforts of being supportive. I just was like, oh, this event is coming. It's a great opportunity to network. Let me get out to this event. And this event happened several years ago. But I just saw the picture and I was just like, interesting. You know, and again, you know, it was I'm not saying it's a negative persona, you know, I still have respect for this person, but I realized that I need to show up for me. I need to pour into me. I need to invest into me, because I am the only one in my life that is going to be in my life my entire life. Like, going through that tragedy was something that was a catalyst for me to recognize that nothing and no one is guaranteed to be around. And even though, and I'm gonna get off of that situation and keep going, go a little further, because my self-reflection did not start there. That was just one of the things that I was like, I remember that night. I remember that night. It took me like 2 hours to get there. And then it took me about like 3 hours to get back. It was like 5 hours because I was utilizing public transportation. And then I stayed there for, I want to say six, because her event started at a certain time and then they had an open mic and I didn't even know they were having an open mic. I was so nervous. They were so full. And then I got up there and I was nervous. And as a performer, when you're nervous, I mean, I have learned to push past nerves, and I do push past nerves. I don't care. You know, like, I will continue. I won't get nervous and stall. I'll get nervous. My legs will be vibrating. My vocals will be vibrating and not in the key. Not in the proper key of the song. But I'll go. I will continue, because for me, it's like, it's just more important to push through. It's more important to push through. And let me tell you, those push-throughs are priceless, because it builds you up. It builds you up inside. And then eventually you're just like, yeah, it doesn't even matter. And it's tricky, because I'm an empath. And it has been tricky when it comes to performing, especially coming to new places and spaces, because, you know, they're expecting, because of my energy and because of how I look, they're expecting something different. And I'm always coming from the soul. So as an empath, me feeling the energy of the room is impactful, or has been impactful before I got to this level of mastery I'm at right now, and I'm still rising. But I recently had an experience, and then I know I kind of went sideways a little bit, but it's not really sideways, it's also about self-reflection. I recently had an experience that was phenomenal, where I was in a room. But I was, it's important to be where you're supposed to be at. I was in a room and I was nervous again, but it was a different type of nervous. It wasn't like I was feeling a bunch of judgy energy. You know, I was around accomplished people, successful people. And when I say accomplished, I don't mean accomplished, but just things. I mean, like, accomplished with things and the character. Ooh, I don't know if that, hopefully that doesn't transfer to the audio a little bit, I guess. anyway. Hey, I'm human, people. Shoot, nothing's gonna happen. Anyway, it was just different. And I remember, like, my spirit's like, I just wanted to look at the view, right? I just wanted to look at the view. And I looked at the view that was near it, Columbus Circle. And then my spirit was like, go and see how much this is. How much it is for a show. See if they have open mic. Most musical venues have an opportunity for artists to share. And lo and behold, they sure enough did. And that was on a Tuesday. And they was like, Thursdays we have open mic. Well, no, I didn't say open mic. They said jam session, which is basically language that, hey, you're going to have the opportunity to get on the stage. But it's at midnight that we start this. And it's like, okay. All right. Excuse me. And so I went back. I went back that same week, and I was nervous. I was thinking all these things I had to prepare. Like, how the heck am I going to get home? But it was okay, because my new whatchacallit hat came, and I was like, all right, am I gonna invest all of this just to have this moment? And it was like, yep, you are, because this is what spirit's telling you to do. So if spirit is telling you to do this, then everything is going to work out in your favor. And I'm like, okay, all right, bet. And so That's what I did, you know. And I was excited on top of nervous. And the way I was just perfectly guided, like, something told me to kind of put on a gig outfit. And what a gig outfit is for me is outfits that I perform in, I sing in, right? So I put on a gig outfit, and I pregame before I get there, go to a local place, and sing, but be mindful, like, I don't want to sing too much, because I know I'm going to sing later, so, you know, but I did sing about 6, maybe 7 songs, and it was on the house, like, they didn't even charge me to sing, and typically in this place, you got to pay to sing, you know, it's a thing in New York City, don't ask me no questions why, it's just what it is, right? So anyway, I did that, and then I went to the venue in Columbus Circle, and I'm like, okay, I'm ready, and then I'm paying attention. Thank God for my attention to details, because I'm seeing people come up. You got to go through metal detectors and stuff, and I'm seeing people come up for the show, and oh, the opulence and the fanciness. I mean, it is Columbus Circle, and if you've ever went over there into those stores, I believe they have Hermes over there, they got Coach over there, and those are just ones that come to the top of my head. They have William Sonoma over there. I was not ready for William Sonoma when I first walked in there. I was just like, Home Goods, ooh, and I like these Home Goods, I like them, let me go check them, whoa, wow, okay, I like luxury shit, even though I'm still very down to earth. I like luxury stuff, and I'm just okay to admit that I like luxury stuff, you know. But anyway, in this particular venue, people were dressed to the T, and I was like, hold up, let me self-reflect. My gig outfit, it was versatile. It was snug, very snug, so it showed all my curves. I suppose if it covered everything, I would have felt a bit more comfortable, but my midsection was out, and I was like, the top of it was out, not the bottom, not the jiggly part, the unjiggly part, that part was out, and I was just like, I think I'm underdressed. And I had walked around all day confidently in my gig outfit, and people were just like, oh my God, she's a star. And I'm like, yep, I am, but I'm not doing any autographs right now. It's funny how stars recognize each other. Oh, that's a whole nother, maybe I'll get into that a little later in this particular episode. But so I go into H&M and I find my right there, they have a perfect sequence. If you know me, you know I love colors. I love bright colors, and I love shiny shit. Glitter, gold, silver. If it's shiny, I love it. Sequence, oh, I guarantee you. And before I get to my house, but I could see my closet already, just sequins in every color, every style, dresses, pants, full body suits. Like, sequins is a thing for me, you know, I love it. And so I see a sequins dress, I see a bunch of sequins stuff. I'm glad I was very disciplined, because I could have grabbed more than one outfit, but I didn't. I only grabbed that one dress. I went and I tried it on, and I didn't take off what I had on, because as I said, it was snug. So I put the dress on top of it, and all the dress did, and actually I didn't even put the dress on forward, I put the dress on backwards, because it was a low back cut to the dress. So when I put it on backwards, what it did was scoop down and show the top part of the outfit that I had on, and cover the midsection that was out, come down a little bit, form fitting, and then you could see, of course, the rest of the outfit underneath there. And it came together seamlessly. It came together like a stylist did it. And it was a stylist that did it, but it was Universal stylist that did it, you know, because I can't take credit of it. I just relaxed and followed the impulses to do it. And sometimes these impulses come like moment by moment, you know, and as a thinker, because I'm definitely a thinker, you know, I sometimes question it, but I've learned not to question it and just go with it, just flow with it, you know. And I was like, okay, cool, you know, and that's what I did. And I looked phenomenal, and people were like complimenting me, and I was just so happy. But anyway, I get to the venue and I get up on the stage, and these are seasoned professionals who knows the difference between key G and key F and key D and all of those different musical keys. And so they're like, what key you're gonna start in? And I'm like, listen. And that's another thing I learned secretively. So I'm confident with that, with getting on stage with a live band, because especially a good band, because a good band is going to follow you, and it's just gonna sink. It's really truly magical. It really is. Music is magical, for real, for real. I love it. And you know, I was expecting to go and sing this week, more than I sang this week, because I did go and sing at a local place that I go sing at when I do my physical therapy. But then the young lady was like, something's happening Thursday, check our page. And I was like, you know, and that was kind of like, and I was like, it's all good, because there's another event that's happening with some musicians that I know in Brooklyn, and then they canceled last minute. And I was like, okay, between what she said, between their cancellation, let me look at this weather thing. And the weather was sucky, rainy, cool, and my legs was achy. And I said, you know what, I'm about to cancel my PT. And I did. I rescheduled it. But I did work out. I did work out. I did work out. I just didn't take that commute. That commute is, you know, it's, my legs are getting better. That is what I can say. They're healing, but there's so many different things that I'm discovering about, you know, this machine of mine, you know. That injury, I'm grateful that I was not injured more, you know. But it definitely brought to my attention a lot of things that I just wasn't paying mind to. So it's good, you know, it's good. Some days are better than the others. But back to the self-reflection, you know. I feel really good in my soul, you know. Spirit revealed something to me not too long ago, and of course my ego wanted to feel a way about it, but then I recognized, no, those people are perfect for each other right now. Those people are on the same wavelength. I'm no longer on the wavelength that they're on. And it doesn't mean that they're less or I'm greater. That's not what it means. It just means there's a difference. You know, I've been set apart, and I must be patient in this season because I'm set apart for a reason. And it was grievous, you know, because I just didn't expect it. And I don't know if people will give me the same honor that I gave them, because although I express myself freely here on my podcast show, I always respect people's privacy. I never try to throw people underneath the bus. Random people come up to me and divulge their deepest, darkest secrets, and I'm just like, okay. I'll be in the moment, I listen to them, and I'll just be like, okay, alright, I'm used to it, you know. So of course, people that I've had relationships with in the past, friendships with in the past, they have done the same thing. And when the friendships no longer existed, when the relationship no longer existed, I never was like, you know, so and so and this and that and blah blah blah. No, I always expressed how I felt. I'm never mentioning anyone's names. Maybe an ex-boyfriend, you know. I might even mention his name. But again, even with him, I never, ever divulge people's secrets, you know. I let them go. I'm not carrying them. I released them. I think. Some of them I released, okay? Some of the motherfuckers are still in there. I want to release them. Help me release them. I don't want to carry nobody's shit, okay? I don't want to. But the point is, when spirit revealed to me what it revealed to me, and I knew it was spirit because it came, and it was so like, pew, and it was like, it was not a thought of my own. It was not a thought of my own. It was definitely spirit letting me know that this had happened. And I was just, again, my ego wanted to take offense and feel a way about it. But I realized, no, these people are good for each other. These people are good for each other because they're on a similar wavelength. And just recently, it was confirmed to me, you know, what was revealed to me. And I was just like, look at that. So you will see my stuff. This will be a little bit of ego talking. And you will purposely don't heart it. But here you are over here. Hearting other people's stuff. I gotta laugh because even coming out, it sounds so juvenile, but it's okay. Listen, I acknowledge my inner child and I keep her healthy, and she's disciplined. You know, I keep her healthy, I keep her happy. My inner child, she's happy and she's healthy. So, you know, but she's also, I don't know if I could say the ego and the inner child is a similar persona within me, but that what I just said sounded very childish and funny. Hearing myself saying it sound funny, but nonetheless, of course, the bigger part of me, my divinity, is like, nah, girl, you good. You have a coach, aka mentor, aka supervisor, who is fucking phenomenal, who is at a plateau in their life where they threatened by anything or anyone, so they can recognize and accept their greatness. Like they their climb to their excellence is similar to my rise to success, you know. Like, and I call them my coach and I call them my mentor because it's like you instantly recognize greatness. Greatness recognizes itself when it's reflective in other people. You know, it's just sometimes people allow their egos or their inner child or unresolved, unhealed trauma to prevent them from seeing things clearly. So they get a little clouded up. They get uncomfortable with other people's lifestyles, I want to say. You know, my lifestyle revolves around spirituality, and I have no issue with it. And I know that it has become kind of trendy within the last couple of years, but I also remember when it wasn't trendy, when it was still very, very taboo to be walking around with crystals on, you know. People trying to subcategorize people that wore crystals, especially that wore crystals openly. And I wore my crystals openly. I want the sun to touch these things, you know. And so, yeah, I remember that. I remember going through that whole process. And I was basically by myself going through that process. Yeah, I would go out, I would go sing, you know, and people tolerated me. And I say that because it's accurate, you know. People that I absolutely admired and adored, they tolerated me, you know. When I tried to open up a little bit, because I was like, oh, I've been coming out to the same place for years. Like, I feel, I see these people every week. I feel like I know them. I didn't, you know? And the moment I guess, got a little bit vulnerable, they was completely judgmental towards me. Like, oh, she fake. What? How? What the fuck did I do to you? And most of the times, people's perception of me being fake is because I'm happy. You can't be happy all the fucking time. Just all the fucking time. Like, no, I'm not all the time. But when you see me, I am. The fuck? I'm not mad. I don't carry that. Like, I go through emotions like anybody else do, but I am mastering myself to the point where I'm not going to stuff it. I'm going to deal with it intelligently and deal with it. That's it. Like, I'm going to deal with me. I'm not going to carry me. I don't like that. I don't want to walk around with an attitude. I don't want to walk around angry. I don't want to walk around closed up to the world. I want to walk around open and free and happy. And that's what I do, because that's what I want to do. And it feels good to me to do that. And just recently, you know, because people will make you seem like you weird for being like that, right? Where secretly they admire it, secretly. Secret. I wish this shit showed me who was listening to my shit. Because it doesn't. So I don't know. I just know if a listener. Oh, it's had 2 listens. Who was the listeners? I will never know. But anyway, people make you feel like you're weird like that because you're not in the status quo, you know? And I just recently heard, oh my God, I don't know who this lady was, but she's the baby mama. I'ma just put it for what it is. Well, I should say children's mother, because they're not babies anymore. She's the children's mother of an actor, you know, and I think it's an actor. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's an actor. And somebody made a comment, and the actor snapped back to the person who made the comment. And the comment was very well put together. It wasn't even a ghetto comment. It was a comment that was like, you know, children are gifts from God. And it was a gentle reprimand to this actor. But many people in the entertainment industry are pretty egotistical. And so this man showed his ego, and you know, but before I get to what this man did, I'm gonna get to his children's mother, how she responded. It was like hearing myself speak, you know. She articulated things so elegantly, you know, so astoundingly, you know. So anyway, though, just briefly, the comment was saying, you know, children are a gift from God, and we should cherish our children and take care of our children, and the fact that you are not taking care of your children reflects your character, something to that effect, right? Not verbatim, but essentially that's what the person said, right? And the celebrity clapped back and was like, oh no, these children were born out when sin. I love how people conveniently use Christianity and the dogma. Conveniently. These children was born out of sin. I wasn't obligated to take care of children born out of sin. Who told you that, sir? Who the fuck told you that? Oh, I know where you got the rhetoric from. But who the fuck told you that shit? You wasn't thinking about sin when you was fucking her and coming in her. What the hell? People be delusional, and they think other people is delusional, because they will use God and say that's a sin, but will be fucking and sucking like no tomorrow, and then be like, well, you know, I'm human, I got needs. Wait a minute, you cannot be this, you can't be propagating this dogma of sins when you're going out there and living sin. But I repented. Repentance is not just saying, I'm sorry, God, forgive me. Repentance is changing the behavior. That's true repentance. So you can't say, I repented, and then you go out and do the same shit. Come on now. What's going on? But let's get back to the point. I just had to interject that because, see, when you have intelligence, people feel away. They're like, oh shit, I can't bullshit you. And their lives are full with bullshit. There's some good stuff. It's not only bullshit, you know. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is a lot of bullshit in people's lives. And the bullshit is normal. It's like, hey, it's normal. This is how we do. This is normal shit. Anyway, it is what it is. So the children's mother, the way she responded, she said, listen, I work to be positive, to be optimistic, and this is a good space for me, because the opposite of this is not a good space for me. I don't like that. And I was just like, finally, somebody gets it. See, people don't realize how they get so used to operating in negativity. And when they get used to operating in negativity, because there's a lot of things that are happening when you are stressing your body out, there's a lot of things that's happening, okay? You are releasing stress hormones into your bloodstream. You can feel those hormones. They give you that rush. That adrenaline is one of them. I don't know the rest of them. There's other ones. Okay. I don't know all the names of them. But, you know, it's almost like your body goes through a chemical reaction. And when you're not having anything to stimulate what your body has become used to, then you look for things to create that type of effect. And if you can't find it, you'll create it in your mind. That's the reality of it, you know? But who takes the time to study themselves and study biology and recognize that this is what's happening? Not many people, because a lot of people are just like, I gotta get it. And I don't ever want to be without these material things and these material comforts ever, you know? Whereas my mindset is, I gotta be whole. I have to be whole, you know. I know that there's a bigger part of me, which is my divinity. Like, I can't unknow that. I know that now. I can't pretend I don't know that and get wrapped up into, you know, what's going on in the world. You know, yes, I'm aware, and yes, some of the things is disturbing, and yes, there's a lot going on. Shoot. According to what I've seen on my screen, Dubai has been washed away. And it's like, I don't know why people play with these forces. These forces is not nothing to play with. You know what I'm saying? They really ain't. The earth ain't nothing to play with. And she really ain't. She really ain't. You ever see a goddamn going, I've never seen one up close. Hopefully I'll never see one up close. But even just watching one on the screen, that goddamn tornado. Do you see that shit? That shit just come and just eat up houses and cars and like they're nothing. And I promise you, even though I've never seen one, I have felt the wind. Oh, fuck around with nature. Wind, and I'm not a small person, but I know what a strong wind feels like, and I know to respect that shit. The earth is very much alive, and you gotta respect it. You should have a relationship with it. Like, yeah, that's how I am. And yes, I communicate with trees. They are alive. They provide oxygen. If I'm in the park, more than likely I'm taking my shoes off, sticking my feet on the grass. And now it's popular. Now it's earthing. Now earthing is so popular, they have figured out a way for you to earth inside. But the best earthing for you to do is outside. But yeah, you know, it is what it is, you know. So yeah, I did a bit of self-reflecting. And I hope I'm talking into the mic. I believe I'm talking into the mic. I just realized I have the phone turned a certain way. But once more, I'm grateful. I'm glad that I overcame my immaturity and recognize, hey, I don't want to live a life where I'm just not being genuine, you know. And what I mean by that, because these are genuine how these people are, you know. They will, this person has created this and I want to get here, and this person has invited me into their circle, so even though I don't like this person, I'm going to work with this person because we can benefit each other. Huh? I mean, that's normal for y'all? Okay. It's not normal for me. And so I'm not going to put on airs. If I don't like something and I don't like a person, I'm going to get very quiet. And I'm just going to be watching. Because I'm just not feeling it, you know? But most of the time, I'm not. When I say I'm not, I mean I'm not watching. And when I say I'm not watching, what I mean is I have been in situations around people. And it's just like, all these people, I don't know, it's just weird. It was just weird to me, because it was like, wait a minute. You were just talking about this person. But now they're here and everybody's smiling and laughing and... Okay. You told me that this person did A, B, C, and D. But now everybody's smiling and laughing and... And who are all these other people? Like, you didn't even introduce me. And I realized, and I didn't even realize then, because I was just so happy. And if there wasn't a separation, I probably would have thought nothing of it. But when you are covered and protected and set apart, you get to go back. You get to analyze and be like, huh. I didn't even notice that. I didn't notice that neither. I mean, of course, I did notice the person that they were talking about. But it's like, that was only, I noticed that. And I also noticed the color scheme. I'm like, And then it makes me wonder. Now I'm about to go a little deeper, right? You know, I gotta go deeper. I got to dive deep, you know? It makes me wonder about an individual who I wanna say prompted the color scheme. There is a common denominator here. There is a common denominator here. An interesting common denominator. I'm thinking about this common denominator because their navigations is interesting. Very, very, very much giving. I'm secretly a witch. Thank you. I'm secretly a freak. I'm secretly scared. And I learned ways to dominate and control others. And I know I can't use those ways with you, because you're going to recognize and address shit. And I'm not comfortable with that, because these are secrets. Here's the thing, people with secrets. You may think people are not aware of things, and most of the time they're not. Most of the time they ain't paying you no mind. They ain't even diving into those different levels. But when you come across a person that does dive in those levels, and it's not because they're a part of a chapter, sorority, group of other people who are grouped together, and that's just part of the motive operandi because that's what they do, but they are really like have a individual relationship with the unseen. They have a individual, it's not something that they came across as a group. It wasn't something that was introduced to them through a third party. Something that's directly, and we all have direct access, and I'm for it. I am for tapping into the unknown, but I am for ethics, and I am for integrity too. And I'm not saying that this person doesn't have some of those qualities, but it's quite curious how my life was before I interacted with this individual, and how my life is now afterwards. And I'm driving my life, so they cannot determine anything in regards to me. But I'm recognizing the influence that they have had on others that I was connected to. That I recognize. And I don't know, maybe they were trying to figure out. It was weird. It's weird, and it kind of reminds me of my interaction with my first husband, because the reason why it reminds me of that is because he was abusive. And so he didn't come out the gate like, "I'ma slap you, bitch," is not how he came out. It was a progression. It was a progression of, "Everything's cool. I'ma give you all these things. I'ma love bomb you." So he love bombed me. It seemed very casual. I was able to be open, at least I thought. And I was, you know, just talking about my interactions with guys that I was dating, because I just never expected to marry that dude. He was like a friend, and we were just cool, and, you know, he gave me gifts, and he wasn't even trying to come on to me, which is something I appreciated, because I was like, damn, you know, I never had this, and you're older, so you could offer me some advice and some wisdom. You know, that was how our interaction began. But he was studying me. He was studying me and studying me and studying me and studying me. And it got to the point where he was like, "I want you." And I was like, "You ain't serious. Cut it out." But he was so serious. And he persisted. He persisted until he got me. And then when he had me, all hell went loose. You know, I went from having a big ass, spacious ass apartment where I had rental assistance, which means I had stability, to becoming unstable. because I got into physical altercations. And once I got into physical altercations that did not happen before he came around, you know, once I got into those physical altercations, I had some, you know, interactions with the popo, and that interaction caused me to be separated from my employment. I had no clue how the housing assistance even worked. I had no clue. I was 18. I had no clue. I had no clue, but I should have definitely asked some questions. All I knew was that I wanted peace. I didn't want to be fighting. I didn't want to do any of that. All I know is I wanted peace. And I thought when I lost my job that that everything was over. Like, I was like, oh, I can't pay my rent. Like, I literally was out there by myself, for real. Like, the whole time. Nobody even gave me any advice. Like, girl, you know when you lose your job, you got Section 8, you good. They will pay your rent. Nobody told me that. Ain't nobody tell me that. Because they didn't have it. Even if they knew, they ain't tell me. And so I walked away. And he didn't tell me. He let me walk away. Walked away. I literally walked away from my stability to come to the city. And I don't regret anything, but I'm just reflecting. Because it's similar, you know, he decided secretly he was going to start getting himself together, even though it was already revealed to me in a dream who he was and what he wanted to do. Now, this other person that I said is secretly a witch. I'm not saying they're a negative witch, but I'm just like, what's going on here? What's really going on here? What's the purpose of this? You know, because I've had dreams of them too. Now the dream's interesting. The dream, I just recently had one of them where they were basically, they were seeking me out. And that's probably what the fuck is happening right now. You know, whether they're doing it consciously or subconsciously. In this dream, they were seeking me out. And I was just living life. I was living life, walking in my truth, and I was like, well, fuck it. Let me see what they want to talk about, you know? And I went to their place of employment in the dream, and I had to go through access control, and I had just came from shopping. So I want to say the shopping, a lot of the stuff was symbolic, but some of the stuff was not symbolic. So I want to say the shopping was symbolic. I want to say that was just me recognizing and mastering certain parts of myself and my gifts. And, you know, I want to say it was reflective of that. And then the access control is like, okay, we're going to go and we're going to look through all of this shit. And I was okay with it because I'm like, good. Like, I've done this type of work before, so I recognize how shit works, you know. So as my stuff is going through access control, they're like bringing these people down to meet me, and people are talking about me, and they're looking at me, and they're like, you know, this is their colleagues, but they're so overjoyed, and they're like, they specifically tell me, we need you. And we have a position open. It's an office position, but we need you. And I want you to come and do this position. And I was like, okay. And so then they start introducing me to their supervisor. The supervisors stand out to me. They were both men. They were both, seemed to be Latino men. And they were both short men. One man stood up and shook my hand. And the other man just sat down and watched me. So, it's deep. It's so deep. It's so deep. Because the things that I'm learning independently is not secrets. They're just occult, sacred knowledge. Which means, occult just means hidden. It's hidden knowledge. And this hidden knowledge has been known to people in different positions. So now that I'm talking and I'm unpacking, it makes sense that this person, they may be unconsciously, and they may not even be like openly about it, you know, or it could just be a secret for them, you know. And a witch is not a bad thing. Let's clarify that. Let's throw out the myth that witches get on brooms and, you know, do things like that. If you break down the etymology of the word, you get wit as the first word, and wit means witty. That means to use your intelligence. So essentially, a witch is simply somebody that is intelligent and who uses the knowledge that they have. Simple. Now, what they use that knowledge for determines whether they are a good witch or a bad witch. And I don't think this person is a bad person, but I do think that they are puppeted in a certain extent because of what they do. You have to be puppeted for that to an extent, you know. To an extent, you have to be puppeted because the people that are above you, that are in the ranks above you, they have knowledge of these different mind hacks, as I'm going to call it. I don't know what else to call it. How to hack a person's mentality. And they use those mind hacks on you to train you to be a certain way. And if they are happy with the training, then you get promoted. Then they start to teach you how to use these same mind hacks on others. And you do, and you know, you're like, hey, life is great. But then you're with yourself at night and you're like questioning. But then you pour yourself a drink, smoke a hookah, forget all about it, you're asleep, play with your clit, bust a nut. You're asleep, on to the next day. I got 4 minutes left. I've went too far, haven't I? I know why people don't want me around, because they don't want me to know their shit. But here's the thing. If you ever think of me, and there was ever a authentic connection, I'm gonna know. And I don't have to be physically around to know your shit, because spirit is gonna just reveal it to me, and it's gonna come out just like it just came out just now. No premeditation, just straight from source. I am a godly woman, and not in the sense of dogmatic, churchy ways. I am simply a godly woman. It's how I live my life. It's how I treat my body, my temple, and that's who I am. So you know you can't hide nothing from God. So don't try to hide nothing from me. And don't feel guilty about it, because I'm not judging you. I may acknowledge it, I might see it, but I ain't saying you negative or you bad because of those things. You know, you are who you are. So I am who I am. It's just that simple. What was initially in my spirit upon me interacting with this individual, when I did interact with them, is that they do need covering. They do need covering. But I think that they are strong enough, wise enough to figure this shit out. And I'm just not going to position myself to be hurt. That's what I'm not gonna do. And so I wish everybody the best. I really sincerely do. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to self-reflect and to grow and blossom into the best woman I can be. And I'm grateful for all of the wonderful people that are now aligning with who I am, who don't think I'm weird because I'm happy, and who don't fear me, but just love me. I'm grateful for that. So, stay tuned. It's just some self-reflection of Nikita Black, the host, the hostess with the mostest. So my mama would say, the hostess with the mostest. Take care and be well, everybody. And just question everything. Question everything. Study. Master yourself. That's what I want you to leave off with today. This hour of my self-reflection. Be inspired to self-reflect.